Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody to worship today. We have no announcements. I'll be preaching on the first reading today with Nathan and David when David wanted to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant, but God had different plans. And I think that's something we all can relate to, where we have plans and dreams in our life, but God has some different plans for each one of us in mind. So with that, we rise to begin our worship with our opening hymn.
Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. You may kneel as you are able. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, the poor miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended you, and justly deserve your temporal and temporal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, poor sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand and sing. Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, your plans are beyond my imagining. The hopes and dreams I have for you, for my relationships and my daily tasks and my future, I hold in open hands before you. Shape my life according to your will, and help me release the good things I have planned, so I may receive the joy and thankfulness, the good things you have planned, through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. I'm Lynn Hoyer. The Old Testament reading is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 4 through 29. But that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought the people up of Israel up out of Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. When your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. When he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the sons of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. In accordance with all these words and in accordance with this vision, Nathan spoke to David. Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, "Who am I, O Lord God? And what is my house that you have brought me thus far? And yet this was a small thing in your eyes, O Lord God. You have spoken also of your servant's house for a great while to come, and this is instruction for mankind, O Lord God. And what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O Lord God. Because of your promise, and according to your own heart, you have brought about all this greatness to make your servant know it. Therefore you are great, O Lord God. For there is none like you, and there is no God besides you, according to all that we have heard with our ears. And who is like your people Israel, the one nation on earth whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing great for them and awesome things by driving out before your people whom you redeemed for yourself from Egypt, a nation and its gods. And you established for yourself your people Israel to be your people forever, and you, O Lord, became their God. And now, O Lord God, confirm forever the word that you have spoken concerning your servant and concerning his house, and do as you have spoken. And your name will be magnified forever, saying, 'The Lord of hosts is God over Israel,' and the house of your servant David will be established before you. For you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, 'I will build you a house.' Therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. And now, O Lord God, you are God, and your words are true, and you have promised this good thing to your servant. Now, therefore, may it please you to bless the house of your servant, so that it may continue forever before you. For you, O Lord God, have spoken, and with your blessing shall the house of your servant be blessed forever." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of glory, the glory of God, and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have begotten you"? Or again, "I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son"? This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
invite you to rise as we read the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. Now, while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, saying, What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he? They said to him, the son of David. He said to them, how is it then that David in the Spirit calls him Lord, saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, how is he his son? And no one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
We continue standing and sing our creed.
Be seated. Like a lot of kids growing up, I wanted to be a professional athlete. To be more precise, I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. If you had to ask me, it of course would have been for the White Sox and preferably shortstop. You know, baseball was my first love when it came to sports. I started playing when I was about probably preschool age and played up until about sixth grade. And I kind of miss playing baseball nowadays. But as you can see, I'm not in the major leagues. And I have a very good reason why I never made it there. And it's not because that I'm a horrible baseball player. I blame my two older brothers. And I have a very good reason, valid reason, because they're both right-handed, I'm left-handed. So when I was taught to play baseball by them, they taught me right-handed. So I don't bat, I don't throw. Don't do any of that left-handed. I do that all right-handed. So I wonder, what would have happened if I would have learned to play baseball left-handed? I mean, everybody needs a good left-handed pitcher, but my brothers messed me all up by teaching me how to throw right-handed. Okay, I don't think anybody's really believing that it's because I learned to play baseball right-handed why I'm not there. But, and I kind of agree, but I think the fact of the matter is that sometimes we have plans for our lives, but God has different plans. And that's what we saw in our reading for today. David and Nathan learned exactly that. The verses right leading up to our first reading, David is telling Nathan, you know, I want to build a temple for God. Because here I am living in this cedar house, or in, if you look at the Hebrew, a cedar palace, and God, the Ark of the Covenant is just in a tent. It's almost like David is feeling guilty that he has this nice, huge house, this palace that he's living in, and yet the Ark of the Covenant is just in a tent. And so David is saying, you know what? this needs to be changed. And I can't blame David, because if I had a choice between a palace and a tent, I would pick the palace every single time. So we can understand why David's saying, you know what? I need to do this. This is going to be something great to honor God. And it's not surprising when Nathan says, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. I think we'd all be there right with Nathan saying, go for it, David. Do it, David. What a great idea it is. But there's a problem. David and Nathan forgot something very, very important: to consult with God. They just wanted to rush right in and do this because, well, this is something that's going to honor God. So how will God disapprove of this? What about in our lives when we are faced with those decisions where each one, whatever we decide, could honor God? Do we think about consulting God, or do we kind of forget about it? When we think about those major decisions in our life, what college to attend, who to marry, different job opportunities that we have, where to live, and many more decisions. Do you go with your gut reaction, like, you know what, this is what I'm going to do? Do you pray, ask God, God, please give me wisdom and guidance? Do you talk to other people? Or maybe it's a combination of all three, or maybe other things you do when it comes to a big decision. But it's crucial for us to always seek God's will in our lives, even if His will is contrary to our dreams. Our dreams might even be God-pleasing, but sometimes God's plan isn't the same. And that's why prayer is such an important part of that, because as we pray, we can help to learn to see what God's plan is for our lives. We can sit still and say, God, just give me your advice. What should I do? And in those moments of silence, when we're sitting still listening to God, God will lead us to what He wants us to do. Even if we don't know what His plans are, He's going to lead us somewhere. And we know that we can trust Him and the plans that He has for us. As we get into what we read for this morning, the Lord comes to Nathan with a message. And simply put, the message was, I haven't had anybody build a palace or something for the ark. It's been in a tent. Don't you think I could have had somebody build something better for that? So why do I need somebody now to build something better? Even though David wanted a good thing, it could become a hindrance to his faith. And maybe you're saying, how could doing a good thing hinder somebody's faith? Or how could it hinder my faith if I do something good? Well, sometimes our ego can get into the way. Maybe you've seen that in your own life. Maybe you've seen it in the life of others. People get so focused on the good that they're doing that it becomes all about them. They can say, have you seen what I did? Have you seen how many people I helped out, or that I've given to this charity? Have you seen how many people I brought to God? And there's a problem in that when that personal pronoun I becomes a major emphasis in those things. Yes, it's good to do those, to help out people, to give to charities, to help bring people to God. But when your focus is all about I and me, that's not what God wants, because that's turning our focus towards ourselves, and it becomes a hindrance to our faith. And that's never part of God's plan. God doesn't want us to be involved in activities that hinder our faith or weaken our faith. He wants us to be involved in things that strengthen our faith, to help us grow in our faith. And honestly, this is a difficult lesson for us to learn, because sometimes we think, well, I'm doing such a good thing. Why wouldn't God be happy with it? But in the midst of those times, we don't realize how it's weakening our faith, because we're caught up in that good thing. But we can pray, asking God, help give us wisdom and guidance, and help us to make sure we keep in check, is this your will? Am I doing what is pleasing to you? And maybe pray to God, saying, God, please remove any of those stumbling blocks that are causing me to stumble in my faith. Help me to grow and increase my faith. David's plan to build an ark was nixed by God. But God just doesn't say, well, David, you're not going to build that palace. But instead, he goes on to affirm his actions and promises that he will continue to be with David even after he is dead. The promise he gave David that was from his line, the Savior of the world would come from. And David had to learn that he needed to let go of his own expectations and trust God's promises. You know, we all have those expectations and dreams for our lives. And sometimes those dreams don't always come to fruition. Does that mean that God doesn't care? Does it mean that God isn't active in our lives? Doesn't mean any of those things. But it's easy in those times to become discouraged, frustrated, maybe even angry with God. But instead of being angry, frustrated, or discouraged, we can look at the promises of God in Scripture. And that's where our faith can help us to say, you know what? Instead of dwelling on this, what does God say in His Word? What does God promise to His people? How can I see God working in my lives? And I can't help but think to the crucifixion. Because probably if you asked all the disciples, none of them would have said yes. That was part of my dreams and goals as being a follower of Jesus, seeing him be arrested and die on the cross. That wasn't part of their plan. And I think to some extent, Jesus would have liked to see that plan be different. We see in the garden, he cries out, Father, please take this cup away from me, saying, take this suffering away from me so I don't have to do this. But he also says, thy will be done. He knew it was part of God's plan. And I bet when people heard that Jesus died on the cross, that he had lost in the battle. There, the King of Kings was wearing a crown of thorns to mock him. His throne chair was being replaced by a Roman instrument of torture and punishment. What looked to be his defeat was actually his victory. And it was our victory as well. And that's what God promised David. He said, the Savior will come from your line. And that is how Jesus became the Savior of the world. And with David, maybe he could have been angry with God, saying, God, why wouldn't you let me do this? Maybe he would have been pouting because he was the king, so he should get his own way. But he didn't. But he doesn't do any of those things. But instead, he admits his dependence on God and trusts his promises. Is there anything in your life that you need to let go of? Are you ready to let go of your own plans and expectations? Which, not an easy thing to do. Because our human nature tells us, I know what's best for me. I'm going to do what I know is right. And we just want to hold on so tightly to those things. But instead of grabbing onto those things, we are to grab upon the promises of God. One of those being Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. God knows the plans for each one of us. And did you hear what he says about those plans? He has plans for welfare. That so we can have future and a hope. He doesn't say that, you know what, I have plans that you're going to fail. I have plans that you're going to have no hope in your life. But he's going to be there for us, is what he tells us. And that we're going to have hope. And it's not just for this world, but it's also for the afterlife when we can look forward to our time in heaven in God's presence. And that hope and that promise of heaven is something that can get us through our times of sorrow. I can't imagine what it would be like if we didn't have that hope. If we thought, well, my life is just going to be some hot, good moments, bad moments, and then ultimately I'm just going to cease to exist. And that's what life is. Where's the hope in that? There is no hope in that. But that promise of eternal life gives hope even in the darkest of times. Just as David learned to lean on the promises of God, we too can lean on those promises even when they don't sync up with our plans or our dreams. But we know that He is the one in charge. Those plans and goals we have in our life, we work hard to achieve them. But sometimes they don't always go as planned. And so how do we go about? How do we try to reach them? Do we seek God? Do we seek His wisdom? Seek His guidance? If we do that, we will learn what His plan is for us, even if it's different than what we originally set out for. And it doesn't mean that we should lose hope saying, you know what? I didn't get my way. I'm just going to give up. Instead, we ask God for peace and strength so that we can grow in our faith and what He has in store for us. And we really don't have to doubt Him because He has a perfect track record. I don't know about you, but I know I don't have a perfect track record in the choices I have made. But He does. We can look to Scripture to see those. And even if they're not in sync with our plans, we know His love for us. It was Jesus who made His journey to the cross, and that was God's plan, that plan of salvation, that plan where He showed the outpouring of His love. We too have a journey in life, and we don't know where it's going to lead us, but at points we get to that cross. We know that Jesus tells us we're going to have to take up that cross, that suffering in our lives. But we know that God will always love us. And that's what the cross reminds us of. That love of God. That forgiveness. And if that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. So as we make that journey in our life, and sometimes we might get a little off track, that's why it's important that we remember and center ourselves on Christ. And we'll be amazed at what we see. It's in Christ's name. Amen.
We're going to go to our Lord in prayer. I will end each petition with the words, "Loving Lord of all," and I'd ask you to respond, "Let us find rest in Your plans for our lives." Like King David before us, we have plans for ourselves that we think are in our best interests. But You show us, Lord, that only You know what is best for us and for the life of Your kingdom. Help us to trust in Your vision for where You would have us go. Loving Lord of all, let us find rest in Your plan for our lives. Sometimes, Lord, we end up in dead ends and of our own making that take us nowhere, or cul-de-sacs of false gods that keep us going in circles. Lead us out of our waywardness and back to Your road of hope and promise in Jesus. Guide us to the way of Christ's cross and the empty tomb, which is the only true and lasting way of salvation. Loving Lord of all, let us find rest in Your plan for our lives. We often get so caught up in our own efforts and accomplishments that we do not acknowledge, glorify, and thank You for Your hand that You've had in the work and abilities You granted to us. Keep us grounded in You and not in ourselves. Always giving You the honor for what has transpired in our lives on earth and what will transpire in the life to come. Loving Lord of all, let us find rest in Your plan for our lives. The prophet Nathan confronted King David with the sin he had committed and the wrong path he had taken. David would confess the guilt of his sin and turn toward his God and turn his life toward God. Help us to see where we have gone astray. Keep turning our lives back to You day after day in repentance. Much like Nathan, may we also lovingly point people to Jesus whenever they have gone astray. And may others also serve as Nathans to us. Loving Lord of all, Your plan of salvation happened through the line of King David down through the ages, to Mary and Joseph, and to the baby Jesus in the manger. Help us to see the beauty of Your plan for us and revere Jesus for His sacrifice on the cross, which You prepared long ago for Him to do. Keep us firm in our faith in him and in our deliverance, even through the power of the cross. Loving Lord of all, the plans of many in our faith community have not been going the way they had envisioned. We pray for all who are sick or injured, hospitalized or in pain, especially Alice, Bonnie, Casey, Dan, Dolores, Dick, Lynn, Evelyn, Jennifer, Joe, John, Katie, Laverne, Linda, Marcia, Nancy, Raylin, Vern, and Vernette. We pray for those who are unemployed or underemployed, and those who are poor and in need. Give peace to all those who are suffering and help them to know that you are still with them and his divine plan is with them even through these difficulties. We pray for the family of Ron Wessel, who died this past week, and the family of Kim Dickerson, whose father also died. Bless all who mourn with the sure and certain promise of eternal life for all who believe in you. Loving Lord of all, let us find rest in your plan for our lives. Like King David before us, Lord, we've come to know that all that we have and are comes from your gracious hand. Help us to treasure the gifts of work and family and friends, as well as the blessings of food, drink, and shelter. Let us never take anything you have given us for granted, especially the gift of your Son, Jesus. Loving Lord of all, let us find rest in your plan for our lives. God of all creation, we offer you the greatest praise for the gift of life. Hear our prayers for your servants who recall this week the day of their birth and rejoice in the gifts of love and life, family and friends. This morning we pray for Charlie, Charles, Don, Alan, Kai, Nicole, Samantha, and Anthony. We also pray for those who celebrate their marriage, including Vicar Bill and Marilyn Harder, who rejoice with 25 years of marriage. Bless all for whom we pray with your presence. Surround them with your love that they may enjoy many happy years, all of them pleasing to you. Loving Lord of all, all these petitions we offer in the name of our Savior Jesus Christ, who did the will of God and lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. We continue our worship by receiving your offerings. invite you to rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us in his body and blood for forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine that is his body and blood as a gift guarantee and a pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat of this, all of you, for it is my body which is given for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Peace of the Lord be with you always.
Savior.
Today,
this way.
I invite you to rise. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.